Good evening. As we begin our worship this evening, we'll sing "There Is a Habitation." We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses. Before opening prayer, we'll sing page 716. Page 716.
Showers of grace, blessing from thy heart will. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this opportunity to gather here again this Sunday evening to worship you and sing songs of praise. And we are so thankful for all that you have done for us. And we dream of being in heaven with you one day. We pray that that will happen, and it will if we are faithful servants of yours. Help us to study your word, to show ourselves approved, and to do the work that you have given us here on earth. Father, please be with all those who are hurting in one way or another. We pray that they will regain their health so that they can be back with us, worshiping with us. We thank you for this church here in Johnson City and for members all over this world. Father, help us to be good Christians and be with us every day as we go out into the world and spread your message of love and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Before our scripture reading, we'll sing A Wonderful Savior. We'll do the first and fourth verses.
Good evening. There is Bible story time. If children would like to exit the back of the auditorium and go to the right, the gentleman out there will send the children in the direction of the library. Our scripture reading tonight is from Colossians 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, verse 10. So as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Good evening. It is a pleasure to be back here. Thank you to Dennis and Linda for reaching out and making contact with me and giving me this opportunity. I was going to speak last week, but my voice was completely gone. My lovely wife, while pregnant, gave me the worst sinus infection. But that's all right. We are far over that now. It's a pleasure to be back. If I have to step away and cough a minute, you'll have to forgive me. Tonight, if you want to be turning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians 5, that's where we're going to spend most of our time. A big thank you to Steve Williams and Tim for last week. I had song leading as well, so big thank you to y'all. Now, this lesson is titled Walking the Walk. So the premise of it is, if you're going to talk the talk, you have to be willing to walk the walk. Earlier today, we had a wonderful lesson from Brother Mike that had a very similar concept that was actually kind of a prequel to this lesson. Pure coincidence. I love it when things like this happen. But before we get into that, we have to understand that this saying, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, definitely applies to every single Christian in this room. Applies to every walk of life that you're going to do. If you're going to talk the talk at work, well, you better walk the walk at work. You better be doing it the best of your ability. As Christians, we're charged to walk. Being a Christian is not a passive experience. There's more to it than simply walking in and checking the box and walking out. It's not passive, it's active. We have to be actively doing. Many places throughout the scriptures encourage us to walk. Different aspects in regards to that, such as walking in spirit, Galatians 5:16, walking in truth, 3 John, walking worthy of the Lord, as we read a moment ago in Colossians 1, verse 10, and walking in obedience, such as 2 John. But specifically, we're going to spend time in Ephesians. Walk in love, verses 1 through 7, walk in light, verses 8 through 14, and walk in wisdom, or accurately, walk accurately, verses 15 through 21. But what does it mean to walk? What does it mean to walk? Now, our points, learning to walk. Then we're going to get into walking to walk, and then we're going to get into moving forward, what we know to do after we're walking the walk. But learning to walk. I just had a kid, as many of y'all know. Thank you all for everything y'all have done leading up to this. Y'all walk the walk. Now, there's a need. Before we get into walking the walk, though, it's the learning how to walk in general. If you're not a Christian here this evening, please listen to this portion. This part of the lesson is specifically tailored to you. There's this need. Before we get into walking the walk, we have to learn how to walk. At one time, most people learn how to walk, right? As a child, you begin crawling, and then you start standing, and then they start walking, and then you start jogging, running, so on and so forth, and they're everywhere. But it always starts out at that first step. And that's what we're going to look at here in a moment. Every new creature needs a form of sustenance. Babies need milk before they get into solids, right? Likewise, you walk before, or you crawl before you walk. If we start on solids when they're at milk, they're going to choke. If they start walking while they haven't figured out how to crawl, they're going to trip and fall far too many times for it to be safe. And that's where we get to the how of learning to walk. We start with crawling. As a child crawls, they begin to explore the area. They begin to realize that there's more to it than being carried around from place to place. More to it than what they've always heard, what they've always known, what they've always... status quo is normal, right? The process of belief begins at that crawling phase here, in this big illustration we're going to use of walking. It begins there at crawling. They begin learning that there's something more, the hearing, the believing. There's more to it. I believe there's something more to it. But what do I do with that? Think about what led you to become a Christian. How did the process begin? Were you raised in it? Were you raised here? Grew up in it? Kind of heard those common themes over and over? Are you from a denominational background? Did you come from somewhere else? Did you study out of something? Think about that process that led you to where you are, and think of that as a crawling process. You begin seeing things from a different area. And as you move from crawling to grabbing onto things and starting to stand up, you start seeing things from a different view. This different view prompts action. What are you going to do with that? This different view prompts, in this case, of this illustration, repentance. When you believe, when you've heard it, studied it, this action and change, they are prompted. That is the faith that produces repentance. So seeing the world with the new eyes of standing up as a baby, instead of being down on the ground, you're now standing up and you're looking out, seeing the whole world from a whole nother perspective on your own there. And that necessitates that action. Repentance, before the baby takes their step, that first step into walking, Christians also have to take a first step into becoming a Christian. People that are prospective Christians, and that's the term we're going to use multiple times as we move forward. There's a much needed repentance before you become a Christian. Right? So, and that is the change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the way of living. It's a 180, not a 360. If you do 360, you're just spinning around. You're in the same spot. 180, you've got to make a change from one location to another. In the secular side of the Koine Greek, right? Well, the Bible is written in there. Repent, on their secular writings, has a thought attached to it, such as changing one's mind after a regrettable decision. I thought that was an interesting way that they described repentance on the secular side of history. It is to reconsider life in light of a new perspective. You've gone from crawling to standing. You've come to knowledge. What are you going to do with it? Then there's the change, this repentance that brings that change. As the child stands and gains a new insight on life, so must the prospective Christian come to the realization that sin can no longer be a part of their life. If they're still in active sin, they can't take that first step. It's like their legs are tied. This change in sight, this repentance, this new perception of life propels both the child and the Christian to take that first step. And you guys know where I'm heading with this. That first step is stepping down into the waters behind me. The first step for a child, when they take that step, they gain a newfound freedom. They're now mobile on their own, walking just as their parents walk or just as someone else walks. And likewise, Christians experience a newfound freedom when they walk in newness of life from sin. And again, the first step, if you are not a Christian tonight, you may sign your name as a member of Central. You may sign your name as a member of wherever you may attend regularly. But I want you to consider something of Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church those who were being saved. The piece of paper doesn't matter. The piece of paper does not matter. The Lord is the one that adds you to the church. The prospective Christian at this point, and if you are not a Christian tonight, you are a prospective Christian. They go from hearing the word of being carried. They go from believing in it, crawling. They go to beginning the repentance aspect of standing, confessing in him, lifting that leg, and then the first step occurs into baptism. Being buried with Christ, taking the first step. By doing so, the new creature is fully realized, a new man, a new creature altogether, a new experience altogether that has put off the old and put on the new. Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn with me. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Keep your finger in Ephesians. We'll come back there in just a moment. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And there's that first step. You've gone in, prospective Christians, if you're here, there's your first step. If you haven't done that, talk to us after. We'll have an invitation at the end. Please don't wait on that. We'll study more. If you have questions, which I hope you do, we'll study more on it. But now, we'll get on to walking the walk. This continuing to walk. As the new Christian begins their walk, just like a new creature, a new baby walking, a new deer learning to walk, they're going to do some things such as stumble, trip, fall. It's okay. That's a part of learning a whole new style of life. That's a part of learning everything. It's not the end. But you have to get back up, and you have to keep walking. Imagine as a little child, if you stopped walking, if you stopped getting back up. Think about it. The more you walk, though, the more natural it becomes. The more you live Christ-like, the more you're going to become Christ-like. The mind of Christ is not gained in an instant. It's not snap or snap. It's not. It's something that you have to train, you have to process. It's a constant battle, a constant walk, a constant way of living. Some translation may substitute walk with live. Perfectly acceptable translation. Now, as we transition into walking the walk, consider a simple question of you held by many today. Why should I keep walking? Why should I keep learning to walk and progressing my walk and learning how to jog and learning how to run and learning how to be more mobile if I already know how to get by, if I know how to do small walks here and there? So two questions here, true or false. You don't have to answer true or false, simply for your benefit. First question, I was baptized. I have been saved. A crown of life is written for me, or a crown of life is bestowed upon me, reserved for me. My name has been written in the book of life, and eternal life is guaranteed to be mine. True or false? True. I hope everyone in here says true. However, the second question, does this mean that it is there forever regardless of what I do? And that's where I would say false. It is not there forever regardless of what you do. So, in order to receive the word, we have to walk worthy of our calling. We read that in Colossians, in the first part of Ephesians 4. We see that as well. So now the big question of what we're getting to, the meat of the sermon here, how do we do that? How do we walk worthy of our calling? How do we live accordingly? Let's pick up at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. The first point here of how is do not grieve the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 beginning. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We grieve the Spirit when we sin. That's what I just got out of that. It may have not listed every single sin under the sun, but it's pretty clear. We go against God when we sin. Lying shows we're no different than the world. Everyone in the world loves to lie. I loved to lie back in my heathen days. I loved it because it took everything off of me. There was no accountability, no integrity. It was just shifting things off. And as we've studied, and as I've continued studying, even white lies are dangerous lies that can lead to bigger lies. Be careful of those. Anger. Right? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Jesus was angry. He had anger there in the temple, chasing the money changers out, a righteous anger. We can be angry, but do not sin. We have to be mindful of what we do. Wrath, snap. Anger builds up. So do not let the sun go down on your wrath. It gives a sense that when the sun goes down on your wrath, it can become anger. It could become anger. It could become far, far worse than the immediate emotion of wrathful outburst. Corrupt words are more than just swear words. And we'll see more of this later down. Crude jokes, inappropriate comments. Again, think about it. It doesn't say only the bad curse words. It says corrupt speech. We're called to be imitators of God, and none of these sound like God. Until we get to the end, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Which comes to our beginning of chapter 5, which is walk in love, live in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7 here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7 is where we're going to find this walking in love. Therefore, be imitators. Imitators as dear children. Imitators of God as dear children, excuse me. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So first thing we have to do here in our walk with love, our life in love, living in love, is be imitators. Love as Christ loved us. Difficult to practice, easy to say, difficult to practice. How do we do this? Everything listed after that is a part of that. I'm not going to give all the answers tonight to these questions I ask, because I believe it prompts further study. How do we walk in love? Well, we have a list here, but what else? What else can we learn from it? So, the next thing we see here, no inheritance for those continuing to live in sin, is what I get out of later in this verse here, or this chapter here, this area. No inheritance for those continuing to live in sin. Those guilty of sin, of these sins need to repent and change. But if they did not repent and change at the time of conversion, then we have to be really careful. And I am talking to Christians now. If you were living in sin at the time of conversion, study on this. I'm not here to crack whips. I'm not here to prick hearts or in a sense of me, Nathan. But we need to be careful. Check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, right? Good old saying from the 21st century slang here. Now, if someone is an act of sin, here's an illustration of this. If I stole a car and I got baptized, can I keep the car? Have I repented of that sin if I keep the car? Take that message with you as you will. I'm not going to give an answer, but take that with you. Now, let no one deceive you with empty words. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Many false doctrines, as Mike pointed out earlier, once saved, always saved, doesn't matter how you live, is their big thing, because you are saved regardless. Faith only, baptism is a work of man. Calvinism, nothing I do matters, for I am elect. Just some empty words here that we do not find anywhere within the scriptures. Some other sayings that came out. Trust your heart. Your heart is always right. Trust your gut. It's always right. The heart is deceitful. Got to be careful of that. Pope Francis, he was in Singapore. I thought this was an interesting quote that he gave. All religions are paths to reach God. They are to make a comparison, like different languages, different dialects, to get there, but God is God for everyone. The only thing I agree there is God is God for everyone. He is everyone's God. However, it's not like dialects, it's not like languages. God is God for everyone in the sense that on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that God is God and Jesus Christ is Lord. But think about the empty words that we see there, and there are millions, maybe over a billion, that follow these words. When I saw that, I was like, wait a second, that was the Catholic Church that did that? I thought it was interesting. So, do not be partakers any longer with these things. Avoid these empty words. Avoid being in sin, right? Got to walk in love, walk in life. And how do we walk in love, walking in love, as Christ also loved us? We have to walk as Christ as well. Walking in light is our next section here, verses 8 and following to 14. But first, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. There is no 1 John chapter 6. Actually, let's back up to verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Christians, this verse is for you. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christians, this verse is for us. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we don't have to worry about hell, as Mike put it earlier. We don't have to worry about it. Back to Ephesians. And are we light? We're walking as children of the light in 1 John. We're the light of the world, as described in Matthew 5:14 there. And back in Ephesians, it reads, speaking of verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. For you were once in darkness. We also walked in darkness. Every Christian in here has at one point in time, for a moment, walked in darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children. Live as children of the light. Before we walked in light, we know we lived in darkness. 1 Corinthians 6:11, for such were some of us. Paul goes through this long list of multiple people and multiple sins, and he gets to the point of it, and such were some of you. I love changing that, and such were some of us, because we were also that. We are light as he is light. And he expects us to walk as children of the light. How? We have the fruit of the Spirit. Those are some really good qualities to live by. As we continue our walk in life and walking in the light, those are qualities that we're going to focus on, that we're going to mature in. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Study. Study. That's what he asks us. Study his words and follow his words. And then, of course, as we read on, avoid falling back into the same groups that have, and this is your have no fellowship with the works of darkness. Avoid falling back into these sins. Avoid these unfruitful works. Avoid going back to that path, because you're not on that path anymore. You once were on that path, but now you're on this path. Live in the world, but not of the world. We've heard that said many, many times. We have to take it seriously. We have to be here. We have to evangelize. We have to spread the word. But we cannot go back to our ways. We can. It's really easy to fall out of it. It's really easy to fall back into it. So we have to guard ourselves. And then it ends here. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Dead in sin, those who are sleeping, get back. Christ is the one who gives light. And then our next point here of walking the walk before we get to our final point of moving forward is going to be Ephesians 5:15-21. See then that you walk circumspectly, live circumspectly. Or another translation of that is walk accurately, live accurately. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We're going to pause for a second, because I thought this was interesting, and it has rejuvenated me during singing. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, one of the brothers down in Branson, Romeo's up here in Sevierville, did a lesson at PTP on how to refresh your song service. That was the title. I thought it was interesting. I went and listened to it. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Psalms, scripture, scripture songs. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my voice. Hymns, songs we sing to him. Blessed be your name. And then spiritual songs, songs we sing for the edification of each other. All three of these are praising to God. But I thought it was interesting how he made that distinction. This is a tangent, a little bit of extra information that might refresh your song service. It might refresh your singing in your mind and making that joyful noise to the Lord. Back to the text. Back to walking accurately. How? Redeem the time. Everything after this tells us how to walk accurately. Redeem the time. Purchase it. Make the most of it. We're only here for a little bit of time in the grand scheme of eternity, so we need to make the most of it serving God. Understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know what his will is. He has given us all things that pertain to this subject, all things pertaining to life and death in this book. Be filled with the Spirit, not be drunk in the wine of dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, not a stagnant feeling, but an overflowing feeling, a constant movement feeling, not stagnant. And then after this, we have some interesting words that help: speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting. All of these things here in this text is bringing us back and pointing to the main verb of this paragraph here, which is walk accurately. See then that you walk accurately. Now, moving forward, we've learned to walk just some things here and there, and this will require further study for more questions to be answered. But moving forward, after the kid is walking proficiently, what do? Run. They're all running. So the run for the reward, as we continue learning how to walk or how to live properly, we get into the run. We must understand that the next step is to keep progressing. Consider the child that walks will eventually learn how to run. I don't like running. I don't like running. But I learned to. I did as a child. I actually did for a long time. But we also need to understand that how we run matters. How we run matters. If you run the wrong way, you're going to injure yourself. If we learn to walk accurately, we will learn to run accurately. Building blocks. Milk leads to solids. Crawling leads to walking, leads to running. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So we have to keep in mind that we're told to keep moving towards this crown. That goal is right there, and we have to keep moving towards it. But there's a danger also associated here. People don't like it when we move towards that goal. Other people around us may not like that. It's going to be difficult. Nothing good in life is easy. You've heard that said multiple times. Some things come easy, but a lot of good things in life are difficult. So we have to keep running. And there's another danger here that we can look at, and that is the danger of not progressing. If you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only righteousness, for he is a babe. Excuse me, let's try this again. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. for he is a babe. The writer of Hebrews here makes it clear that we have to continue progressing. The people that he's writing to at this time need it explained to them again and again and again and again. We can't stay there. We have to keep moving forward. We have to keep walking on. We have to keep running on. We can't stay still. There must be the progression. If there's not progression, if there's no progression in our knowledge, in our faith, in our walk, then complacency sets in. And I know a lot of people that are complacent in my life. And complacency kills. Complacency is where your faith, my faith, goes to die. And that falls down to a pride issue. For me, personally, that's what I have to guard against on the complacency of pride issue of, well, it's a we do X every single week. We take the Lord's Supper every single week, check that box. We've done the singing, we check that box. I got the lesson. Hey, Nate's up there speaking. He's giving the lesson. Let's check that box. Okay, we have done some prayers. We check that box. And it goes into pridefully checking boxes of, okay, I've done that right. I've done that right. I've done that right. I've gotten everything checked off here good. And then you fall into that routine. And we should be in a routine coming here. That should be a habit of coming here, but we cannot get complacent in that habit. I'm guilty of this. I've done this. When we moved up here, I realized that I had been doing this 4 years at the congregation I was at back home. I realized, oh, maybe I have been on milk a very long time, and I've been a-okay with that. I like steak, y'all. I guess I like steak, but I had to work my way up to this. It wasn't a, well, let's go from milk to steak. When we got up here, I realized how far behind I was in my walk. So my question for y'all is, examine yourselves. Examine where you are in your walk. When we pridefully fall into it, we can become pharisaical of, I've checked that box. I have strained the gnat out. I'm good to go. Got to guard ourselves from that. We have to guard ourselves from falling into just showing up, doing the bare minimum, following just the law without the spirit of the law. And we have to spend more time walking the walk and less time talking the talk. We have to spend more time moving and doing things. We have to spend more time because words speak louder. No, they might sound louder. Actions speak louder. Than words. When y'all threw our gender reveal, Sierra and I went home and cried because we realized how loved we were here. When we had the baby shower, we did the same thing again because we realized how loved we were here. Y'all's actions here, and y'all tell us good job, y'all tell us that you love us, but y'all's actions prove what y'all do. And y'all do good. Now, in conclusion here, we've talked about learning to walk, the need, the how, that first step into the water grave of baptism that's right behind me. We've talked about walking the walk, some topics there. Do not grieve the Spirit, walking in love, walking in light, walking in wisdom. Replace walk with live. Live in love, live in light, live in wisdom. Think about that as well, that aspect of it. It's not just a walk, it's your life and it's your soul. And we talked briefly about moving forward, running the race, the dangers of not progressing, and the dangers of complacency. So if you have not learned to walk yet, I hope you've thought about it since we talked about it earlier. Because this lesson is about you. That lesson is about you, and it's about your future as a prospective Christian. You need to consider, if you're at a certain point in your life, and hopefully have as this lesson's gone on, that maybe I should come forward tonight and be baptized. If you were taught a way to walk that our Father did not teach us to walk through his word, perhaps it's an errorous way, or perhaps it's a false doctrine, perhaps it's simply you didn't know. We can't do better till we know better. Let's sit down and study to learn better. God is not satisfied with, well, you didn't know, so it's okay. We have to do better, but we can't know that, and you can't know that until you learn it. So this lesson should be a wake-up call to search that out. If you walked worthy for a time but are now stumbling, tripping, and falling over, then this lesson should start the process of giving you the motivation to get back up and get back on that walk, get back to where you need to be, to keep pressing on that upward way. If you're coasting complacently, then this lesson should push you. It should prick you a little bit on your heart. It should tell you that, hey, I need to take action, and I need to get serious about this again, because it is serious. I need to change today and start walking again, walking accurately. If you believe you're already walking right, excellent, then this lesson should be some refreshing motivation and a call to examine yourself to ensure that you do not fall into any of those previous categories. If there is anything that we can do for you tonight, then come forward tonight, either publicly on the front pew or afterwards privately. We have Mike, we have Josh. Tim Hall, I'm sure, would love to be called in over the phone if he needs to be. We have elders. What a blessing it is to have elders. There are congregations that don't have elders, that are still trying to get elders, and it is a blessing to have elders, y'all. If it's now, if it's after, that's fine, come forward. If it's day, if it's night, if it's at 3 a.m., and you say, man, I really need to talk to Nate right now, but he has school at 7. Hey, guess what? Call me. I have a bit newborn baby. I'll be up. But we will study with you, we'll pray for you, and help you push towards the crown of life. And if there's any need that you have, great or small, baptism or not, a study issue, whatsoever it may be, come now as we stand and sing our song of invitation. Please be seated. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing the first and third verses of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross, sorrow and love such love and sorrow mean? O'er thorns composed so rich a crown.
You didn't have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. We have someone in the back that's ready to provide that for you. You simply raise your hand, it'll be brought to you. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Fathers, we approach your throne through Christ. We're thankful for this opportunity of remembrance, for us to reflect on what's been broken on our behalf, what's suffered on our behalf, so that we do not have to face the consequences of sin. Pray, dear God, we'd be forever thankful for this, even now and in the after while. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Continuing in Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Let us pray. Fathers, we're given this opportunity to reflect. We realize that there is no remission of sin without the letting of blood. We know, dear God, that through this blood our garments can be made white, that we can find acceptance in your sight, that we can work to achieve your will here on earth, so that we can truly reflect how grateful we are for what's been done on our behalf. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen. Let's give thanks for the offering. Father, we're grateful for the opportunities you provide us with to work, the opportunities to make provisions, to provide for this work. We ask, dear God, you would bless the distribution of these funds. Pray they'd be done in a manner where great good would be accomplished, many souls would be touched and converted, that we would, in fact, work, dear God, to ensure the integrity of the Christian faith in this church is good and acceptable in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a good day it's been. Father, we thank you so much for Nate and his ability this evening to talk to us about walking the walk. Father, we thank you for Mike talking to us this morning about talking the talk. And Father, we pray that as we go into this week, may our words, may our actions be aligned, and may they be a good reflection of who your Son is to this world. Father, feels like the world gets darker and darker every day, but Father, we know you have it in your hands and that you care and that you can guide us as we try to do our best to show you. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us with that. Father, I also want to pray for those in our congregation who are recovering from surgeries. Father, I pray that you will be with them and their caretakers, Father, I pray that they'll be able to come back to us soon. I pray for those that are struggling with illness. Father, give them healing. Father, for those that might have relatives that are struggling health-wise, Father, I pray that you be with them. Father, I pray that you will be the comfort and the peace that only you can provide. And Father, I pray that as we think about our brothers and sisters who might be struggling, whether it be physically or mentally, emotionally or spiritually, Father, I pray that you will give us the eyes to see those needs, the ears to hear what we can do, and the hands and feet to be your son. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.